seek proven authorities. Say, if you see the Bible is a proven authority in your mind, then that's good to use. Now, the Bible isn't 100% true in all cases, but it's at least an anchor to get you started. Now, the trouble with a lot of people is they have no anchors, especially a lot of these New Age people. They'll say, well, you know, that could be true, or this could be true, and you have nothing to as an anchor to create a foundation of argument. And if you have nothing to create a foundation of argument, then you can't really have a discussion that'll lead anywhere. So when I'm arguing with a born-again Christian, I realize that the Bible is an anchor in this guy's mind. So I'll use that anchor as if I accept it just the way he does. But I quote him scriptures that he's never considered before and then present a meaning he's never thought of before, and it kind of blows them away. But reminds me when Curtis and I were arguing with we went to a born-again thing one time, and these guys looked at us kind of suspiciously, and he says, do you have Jesus in your heart? And I says, well, the Bible doesn't mention Jesus in your heart anywhere in there, so don't even think about it. He says, what? You don't have Jesus in your heart? I says, where in the Bible does it tell me to have Jesus in the heart? He says, well, it's in there. I says, well, where? He says, well, who are you? He says, where'd you come from? people just can't handle it when you use their own anchors, see? And I do the same thing with political arguments. With political arguments, I don't ever quote conservative sources. I quote the New York Times, Washington Post, and Huffington Post and places like that, because I know that's their anchors. If I quote Fox News to somebody from the left, they'll say, they're just Fox News. They just lie all the time. You can't trust the thing they say. You know. But is that an approach we should use? I don't say, well, I don't trust MSNBC, I don't believe a word they say. Well, all the news sources, most of the stuff they present are true. Almost, and all the mistakes they make, most of them, are honest mistakes. The interpretations they make may be askew, but when they're presenting actual facts, almost all the facts of all the media, all the newspapers, have some validity to them. So just to write it off, you don't like the facts because it's from the wrong source, is really a silly thing to do. Yet, if you quote something from Fox News to a liberal site, they just go berserk. They will not accept one word of it. It doesn't matter if God comes down and proclaims it to be true. It's because it's from Fox or Rush Limbaugh or whatever. There's no chance in the world of it being true. And some conservatives are like that toward the MSNBC and CNN, major media. So we don't kill the messenger. We examine the message and find out if the message is true. If there's some message delivered that seems odd, well, let's check it out. Find out if there's any truth to it. Search it out and see who said it and what they really meant. And both sides of the political spectrum do this. They will take something someone says and they'll twist it to mean what they want it to mean. People attack Obama that way, and people attack Trump that way. They attack both sides, use that method to some degree. And it's just dishonest to do that. So we need to find out what the person actually meant and what the person actually said. And this is another thing that bothers me, is a politician makes a mistake and then he corrects it and he says, I didn't mean this, I meant this. It doesn't matter how many times he corrects himself. His enemies won't accept it. They'll go with the original mistake as if that's what he meant 100%, even if it's just a total slip of the tongue. They won't consider that's a slip of the tongue. And yeah, politics is just really dog-eat-dog as far as not willing to see or accept the other person as what he really means to say, what he really meant. The truth should be in harmony with free will. It should enhance our ability to make decisions. It should enhance our ability to be free. It also should bring us to a new level of awareness and usefulness. So it's important that as we learn, if something is really true, it will be useful. If it is really useful to have a hammer and a nail and know how to hammer that nail in, its knowledge is useful. Knowledge is power. So if something is really true, it will be useful in some way. If it's totally useless, then you need to re-examine it, find out what's the matter with it, maybe find out where the error is in this truth that maybe we fell in love with so much. We use the process of elimination. Process of elimination is a really good way to discover what's true. In other words, we look at a treatise and we wonder, well, what's true and what isn't? You can go through it and maybe cross out things that you may find suspect and other things that you are pretty sure is not true. And then what remains not crossed out, you can look at it and maybe discover some actual truth there. Then when you find kernels of truth, as you investigate these kernels of truth, then you can expand. You can expand upon them and find more truth. Truth leads to truth. Pieces of truth leads to more pieces of truth. Packages of truth leads to more packages of truth. If we have our minds closed to the truth, if we're willing to distort the truth, we'll be deceived on many, many different levels. And many people are deceived on so many levels that just about boggles the mind. But the way around it is to sort out things, kernels that you find to be true, and then use them as seed thoughts, plant them in your mind, explore them, and they will lead you to more truth. Because the truth links to other truth, and then it will link to more truth still until eventually a picture begins to form. And then when the picture begins to form, then you can see the other pieces that need to go in there. But if a person doesn't love the truth, he never sees the initial pieces to the puzzle. He just sees a bunch of pieces, and somebody else is telling him what the pieces are supposed to mean, and he believes it because he's told that. Next, follow aspects of the will of God that is within you, your perception, and your sensitivity to truth will increase. Okay, now all of us pick up certain things that belong to the will of God. If we follow those things, it will lead us to greater truth. Tell me some things that you think are in harmony with the will of God.
Freedom.
Okay, the principle of freedom. What else?
Love.
That we should love our fellow man. That's something we feel is in harmony with the will of God.
Service.
What was that?
Service.
Service. Service. That's a good one.
Healing.
What else?
Healing.
Healings?
Healing.
Oh, healing, yeah.
Compassion.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. All the good stuff.
Free will.
Yeah, in other words, there's certain things.
No judgment.
There's certain things that we know instinctively that are in harmony with the will of God. Like telling the truth is in harmony where telling lies isn't. Avoiding distortions is in harmony where distorting is not. Loving our fellow men and women, being of service, like you said, all these things that are in harmony with the will of God, put our attention on them. And when we put our attention on these things that are in harmony with the will of God, then we have we increase our perception of truth. So we're able to see things that other people can't see. If a person doesn't love his fellow man, he's just out for himself, he's going to look at the world from a distorted point of view. So there's many truths that will escape him. Also, an important one is to realize that there is higher intelligence in the universe. You don't have to believe in somebody's version of God, but the fact it's important that we acknowledge that there is higher intelligence, and that higher intelligence can filter down to humans.